Take out your message notes. And what I've decided to title this, it was just going to be a one and done type thing, but the Lord changed the direction that I was going in, and it was just going to be a one message thing for New Year's, and the Lord changed my direction. And so what we're going to do is we're going to call this series Uncommon Faith, and you'll find out why in just a moment. But there are some things that the Lord is laying the groundwork for, as I said earlier, in order for us to build on that and really start the momentum for this year. Let me show you a couple of scriptures found in Isaiah 54, in verses 2 through 4. The scripture says this, and I'm going to read it from the New King James and then read it from the Message. The New King James says this, and this is a command. It's not a suggestion. The Lord said through the prophet, "Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings." For you women who like curtains and stuff, you need to grab a hold of that. Amen. "Do not spare," he said. "Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left." Now, can I just tell you something? When the Lord first dropped this in my heart, I pictured myself standing out here in front of the building, and I don't know if that means somebody fitting to move or what, but I saw people on my right and on my left. I don't know. And I ain't coveting people's places, all right? I'm just saying. Praise the Lord. "And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." What that means is the nations, anytime you read the word nations, particularly in prophetic books, it's often talking about large groups of people, not necessarily a continental type place. And so the Lord is telling us that we're going to inherit large groups of people. And what that means is we're going to win people to Jesus like we never have before. And then he said, you're going to inhabit the desolate cities. See, there are places, there are not only the city of Charlotte, but communities around about us that maybe haven't seen a lot of light lately. Well, they're fixing to see light like never before, because we're getting ready to make a difference in this area like never before. He goes on to say in verse 4, "Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced." Go to the next slide, guys. "Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame." Here's what God is saying. He said, "I'm telling you to expand." And he said, "And when you stick your neck out for me, I'm promising you, you're not going to be embarrassed. I will not embarrass you." In other words, I ain't going to tell you to do something and then leave you hanging. All right, here's what it says in the Message Bible. He says this, "Clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large." In other words, start thinking larger than what you're thinking now. "Spread out. Think big," he says. "Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep." Now, let me just tell you what that means for us as a church. The tent pegs are what holds the tent up. Now, there are four pillars of our church that are part of our mission and part of our vision, and that is we lead people to experience Jesus, to know Jesus. So that's one of our stakes. We lead people to encounter God through worship. We're going to start driving these stakes deep. You're going to see some things emphasized more and more and more. So we're going to lead people to know Jesus like never before. We're going to lead people to encounter God through worship like never before. The third thing is we lead people to experience life change. We're going to teach people what the Bible says. We're going to disciple people like we never have before. You're going to grow this year like you never have before. And then the last thing is we lead people to make a difference. In other words, to think bigger than just me and my four, to think bigger than myself. And so how do we do that? Well, we lead you to make a difference through serving others and meeting the needs of other people. And so those are the four stakes that are part of Spring Hill Church that hold this church up. And so you're going to see us driving those things deeper than we ever have before. And he goes on to say, you're going to need lots of elbow room. Now what that, I take that, I'm a pastor and I take that. What that means is we're going to see more and more people coming into this place as a church. And I just, all I need is just a little agreement. I'm not in this by myself. You're in here with me. So I need you believing with me and declaring these things all the time. And then he says, you're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. He goes on to say, you're going to take over whole nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed, he says. I love this. Don't hold back. You know what holding back is a result of? Being afraid. When we hold back, it's because we're afraid. He says, don't hold back, and here's why. Because you're not going to come up short. Say this with me. I will not be afraid because I am not going to come up short in 2019. Amen. Do you receive that?
Amen.
Now let me tell you what the Hebrew word for enlarge means. It means this: to expand, to widen, to go beyond, to make more room, to increase capacity. Can I just give you a little tidbit? This is free. This won't cost you anything. It's hard for the Lord to bring increase into your life if He has nowhere to put it. Some of you might just need to, I know you might not have one now, and I'm not being critical when I say this, but you might need to just take you about $25 or $50 and go open you a savings account. And then say, okay, Lord, here it is. I'm going to do what you tell me to do, and I expect you to fill this. To go further, he says, I love this, to occupy new territories with no limits or boundaries. So this is what God is calling us to do. This is the mandate that we have on us as a church, on us as a church family. And you might as well, and I know not everybody are members of our church here today, but those of you who consider yourself to be a part of the Spring Hill family, this command to expand is not only for us as a church, it's for you and your household.
Amen.
It's time for you to expand. And so you need to be making plans. And so, I began to pray and I asked the Lord, Lord, what's it going to take for us to do this? What's it going to take for us to expand the vision, to be able to grow in our personal lives, to be able to grow as a church and be able to accomplish everything that you've called us to accomplish? And he said this, and if you're taking notes, write this down. He said, you will have to develop an uncommon faith to believe and receive all that God has planned for you. You will have to develop an uncommon faith to believe and receive all that God has planned for you. So what I want you to do with me is to make up your mind that this year is not going to be common. It's not going to be Christianity as usual. Because I can tell you this, and this is kind of a churchy phrase and we kind of have made it a cliche, but I can tell you right now, it's not going to be church as usual. Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you're going to have to develop an uncommon faith. What does that mean? You're going to have to go a little bit further, or you'll see in just a moment, a lot further if you want to, than you ever have in your relationship with God, in walking with God, and believing and trusting in His Word. So what does uncommon mean? Right out of the dictionary, it means this: as out of the ordinary or unusual. So I might have to do some unusual things this year in order to have some uncommon faith. And what do I mean by that? I don't mean different as in weird. What I mean is unusual to you. Some things that maybe you haven't done before, or maybe you used to do and you maybe kind of let it slip. God is telling us it's time to do some unusual things. Because here's what we often do. We often say, God, I'm ready for you to do the miraculous. I'm ready for you to do above and beyond. And He's saying, well, I kind of need you to do some above and beyond. Hallelujah. So we taught last week, Paul mentioned in one of his epistles to the church at Thessalonica about a faith strategy that he had. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. And I'm reading from the New Living, and it says this: night and day we pray earnestly for you. Paul is saying, I'm praying earnestly. I'm praying with every fiber of my being for you, asking God to let us see you again. Why, Paul? Why do you need to go to Thessalonica to preach to them? Because he said this, that I might come again to fill the gaps in your faith. And I really believe the reason the Lord has directed us to teach on these things, first thing here in January of 2019, is I want to fill in some gaps in your faith so your faith doesn't lack anything whatsoever. Matter of fact, that's what one translation of that verse says. He says, I want to come in and complete that which is lacking in your faith. And so that's really what I want to accomplish. And so we said this last week, but I want to remind you again. Somebody might say, well, you know, how long is that going to take? Is it going to take all of 2019? Is it going to take the next 2 years, 5 years, whatever? I got good news for you. Anybody want some good news? Okay. Are y'all here? Anybody want some good news? All right. Paul's second letter to the church at Thessalonica was written 8 weeks after the first letter. Okay? Now, just a little pop quiz. That equals 2 months. Okay? How long did it take in between Paul's two letters to the church at Thessalonica?
2 months.
Let me try it again. How much time passed between the two letters Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica? How much?
8 weeks.
2 months. 8 weeks. Okay. What happened then in that span of time? Well, let's look at the second letter and see what Paul said. He said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 in the Message Bible, he said, you need to know, friends, that thanking God, and I'm excited for you guys. He said, I'm thanking God for you over and over. And he said, it's not just a pleasure, it's a must. I have to take time to thank God for what he's done in your life. He said, we have to do it. Here's why. Because your faith is growing phenomenally. Man, I want so desperately, long about March of this year, to be able to have to, I mean, not just because it's necessary, but because I want to go before God and say, God, thank you for what you have done in the people of Spring Hill Church. Man, their faith has grown phenomenally. I want to do just like this. But here's the point. I want you to see that it doesn't take forever. It could take as soon as 8 weeks. Your faith could go from having some holes in it to growing phenomenally. Amen. Now, Paul laid out a plan, and so we're going to kind of follow the model. And it's not just Paul. It's found all throughout the Scriptures. We began giving you and outlaying for you some steps in order to develop uncommon faith. Now, can I just say this? I'm a Bible teacher, all right? I'm not necessarily a preacher, although I do get loud and excited sometimes. But here, my mind thinks in progression and in steps. So I don't just give random points. What I like to do is organize my thoughts that I'm wanting you to get in easy-to-do, easy-to-accomplish steps so that if you will pay attention to what God is saying to us, you can follow it and get the results God wants you to get, all right? So when I say, you know, these steps, I'm not trying to make it a magic formula or anything like that. I'm just organizing it in a way so that anybody can do it, all right? Now, here's number one. We talked about this last week. Realize your faith potential. Realize your faith potential. What is the potential that we have in being able to believe God? Well, the Scripture says, and we looked at this last week, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Paul wrote and he said this, he said, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think clearly or soberly. And here's why. According as God has dealt to every man, now not every human being in the earth, he's talking to believers. So people that have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, God has dealt to all of those people the measure of faith. Now here's, I want you to get this. It's not just the measure of any old faith. He has dealt and placed on the inside of you the measure of the faith God has. Now, and just lest you not understand the impact of that, we're talking about the Lord who stepped out on the edge of nothing and spoke using his faith and caused everything we see to come into existence. That faith has been deposited down on the inside of you. Somebody said, I kind of heard this in my thinking, in my heart. Somebody said, oh, not me, not me. Yes, you. You, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the God kind of faith down on the inside of you. Jesus said, we won't turn there, but Jesus said in Mark 11:23, he said, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he can have whatever he says. In other words, the way God did it, you can do it too. Oh, hallelujah. You need to realize your faith potential. Now, what does that mean? Here's a couple of things we said last week. We all have an unlimited faith capacity. There are no limits. And what that means is this. There are no limits to what you can believe God for. There are no limits. There is nowhere in the Bible, in this book, where God has said you can go this far and no more. You can believe me for this, but not, don't go any further than that. No, Jesus, matter of fact, he said this. Some things might be possible to him that believes. Huh? That's not what the verse says? It says all things are possible to him that believes. Here's what Jesus is saying. Now, don't let this blow a circuit, but Jesus said, if you can believe for it, you can have it. Now, it's got to be in line with his word. It's got to be legal. But God wants you to take the limits off of him. There is no limit to your faith capacity. Here's the second thing we said last week, and that is this. How far we go is totally up to us. You are not going to be able to stand before Jesus when all this is said and done and smoke clears and we're standing before him. And by the way, you're not going to give an account. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you're not going to give an account for your sin. You're going to give an account for what you did in the earth after you became a Christian using what I'm talking to you about. And you're not going to be able to stand before Jesus and say, well, you know what, Jesus? I just felt like you held me back. Jesus, I just didn't feel like it, you know, you wanted me to go that far. No, Jesus is going to say, I took all the limits off of you. I took them all off. You need to go further. You need to go further. And so we have no limit to our faith capacity and how far we go. And what I mean by that is what we believe and trust God for and the extent or the height or the greatness of that is totally dependent on you. So that being said, I wanted to give you some things to help you progress and move on. Here's number two. We said this, receive Jesus as the developer of your faith. The developer of your faith. And what that means is, and I'm going to read you a verse in just a second, but the Bible tells us that Jesus is the completer of our faith. We might say it this way, all right? And I use this illustration. I'm not going to harp on it because it's embarrassing. But when you go to Planet Fitness, you can get a trainer to help you. And that trainer, their purpose is to help develop you so that you can accomplish your goals. All right? Look at it this way. Jesus is your personal trainer where faith is concerned. When you make the decision to release your faith, Jesus steps in and goes to work, and he says, okay, that's great. Man, I'm so excited that you want to believe for that. You want to reach for that. I'm going to help you do it. Here, let's go get on the faith treadmill a little bit. And you know what? Here's what we do. Not the treadmill, Jesus. Lord. No, so you got to be willing to do whatever your trainer tells you to do. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to be the developer and the trainer so that our faith can go further. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The scripture says this, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and developer or finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he says, you need to run this race, but you got to keep your eyes on Jesus, who is the, he gave it to you, and then he's going to help you develop your faith. Amen? All right, so here's number three. Now, this is where we get into the new material. All that's been reviewed. Here's number three. Give the Word of God, first place, and make it your final authority. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. But number three is this. You have to give the Word first place in your life and make it the final authority. Let me show you a scripture in Proverbs chapter 4. In verses 20 through 22, Solomon wrote this. He said, my son or my daughter, give attention to my words. Now, anybody ever have your parents, maybe your mom and them, say to you, now I'm talking to you, pay attention. I never had to hear that at all. I'm just teasing. A lot of times it was like, squirrel. Little movie reference there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. My son, give attention to my words. And I love this. Incline your ear to my sayings. What he's saying there is lean in and listen to what I'm telling you. Here's something you need to understand about the Lord. He doesn't yell. Okay? He doesn't whisper in the sense of where you can't hear it. But you might have to get a little quiet and kind of lean in so you can hear what he's saying. He says, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health. The Hebrew actually says, and medicine to all your flesh. The word is medicine for your flesh. But here's my point, is that you have to be like what he says here. Give attention to the Word of God. Lean in to hear what God is saying to you. And then don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Now, I want to show you a story real quick that is found over in Luke's Gospel. And I want to read this to you. And it's found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Guys, I might not have put this in the notes. If you want to pull this up, please. And I want to read it in the New Living Translation. All right, this is a familiar story that many of us have probably heard from the Gospels. And so Jesus is in the home of Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. You remember Lazarus and Mary and Martha? Okay, not Mary and Martha, all right? Luke chapter 10, verse 30. I'm sorry, it was funny when I was thinking it. It just, you know, anyway. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. So I would say that Mary was leaning in. Mary was giving the word her attention. She really wanted to hear what Jesus was teaching. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus. Now, and see, you can't just read. You got to hear some attitude when you read this, okay? She came to Jesus and she said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work?" Anybody ever kind of had an attitude like that before? You know, you kind of busy doing all the stuff and they're in there watching TV or whatever, and you're like, "What are you doing? Why are you sitting in here? Well, you ought to be in here helping me." And so she goes as far as to, and this cracks me up. She said, "Tell her to come help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha," and I just picture Jesus, this little smile coming on his face, and you know, he wasn't mad. He just lovingly, he said this, "My dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. Now here's what I want you to see. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." What is it that she discovered? She discovered the priority and the value that the Word of God needed to take in her life. The Amplified version of that particular verse says this, "Mary has chosen a good portion," listen to this, "that which is to her advantage, and it's not going to be taken away from her." What I want you to see is when God tells us, "Give your full attention to my word. Make it first place and foremost. Make it the final authority." Here's why. Because he knows that's to your advantage. He knows that it's going to do you good in order for you to do that. So let's answer a couple of questions. How then do we give the word first place in our lives? Well, here's how you do it. Here's the answer to that question. It's really very simple. We make the decision to build our schedule around the Word of God instead of trying to fit the Word into our busy schedules. And I'm just as guilty as anybody. I have to make adjustments for this just like you do. Somebody said, you're a pastor. I know. But I have other stuff that I do too. I don't sit with my face in the Bible 24/7. But what I have to do is make sure that other stuff is not getting more attention than the Word is getting. So can I, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to talk to these people back here so nobody out here thinks I'm talking to you. Okay? But let me ask you a question. Are there times when you spend 2 or 3 hours in front of the TV at night when really, and you give your little devotional time about 10 minutes in the morning? Okay, I said it to those people and I got the same response from them, all right? You might have to make some adjustments, particularly in the next 3 weeks. I'm going to go so far as to say it might not hurt some of us to fast some television over the next 3 weeks. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So here's the next question. What does it mean then for the Word to be the final authority in our lives? What does that mean? What are you saying when you say that? Well, here's the answer. We don't make the Word fit our lifestyle. We make our lifestyle around the Word. In other words, we adjust our lifestyle to fit the Word of God. I'm going to say that again because I kind of bumped through it. We don't make the Word fit our lifestyle. We adjust our lifestyle to fit the Word of God. Now, I'm going to give you a big one because we're going to talk about this over the next couple of months. Here's a big one. All right, you ready for it? Romans 13:8 says this. In the King James, it says, "Owe no man nothing but to love him." The Amplified Bible says this, "Keep out of debt and owe no man anything." I'm going to show you an example of adjusting the Word to fit your lifestyle. Well, you know, I know the Bible says that, but if I don't borrow, how am I ever going to be able to buy a home? How am I ever going to be able to enjoy the things that God wants me to have. Okay? You need to understand something. God never tells you anything to do in His Word if He doesn't have a better way. So when you see this, and I'm just as guilty. I'm just as guilty. But when I see truths like this in the Bible, I have to make the decision that I am not going to make the Word comply to my lifestyle. I'm going to adjust my lifestyle to comply with the Word. So I have to make a decision. And by the way, this is what's dangerous about coming to a church called Spring Hill where we preach the Word. Guess what? You've now heard that too. Now you got to deal with it. You're welcome. So I have to make a decision. I'm just going to say me. I have to make a decision. So do I figure out a way to kind of skinny back and compromise the Word? Or do I just say, well, that's what the Bible says. I'm going to obey what the Word says. And so, God, I believe You are telling me the truth. You have my best interest in heart. So, Father, thank You for helping me to get out of debt so that I can be obedient to the Word. Hallelujah. Let's all just lift our hands and sing Kumbaya, my Lord. There's going to be some things that we see in the Word that it's going to be a whole lot easier maybe to kind of adjust the Word. How about when the Bible says, love your enemies and pray for them who take advantage and use you? Jesus, I'm not doing that. That joker take advantage of me. Jesus, I'm going to get him back. No. You've got to adjust your lifestyle to fit the Word. Hallelujah. I can just tell that's exciting to you all. So we're going to move on. Praise the Lord. Here's number four. Number four is this. You got to make up your mind to continually feed on the Word of God. And what I mean by feed is you've got to consume it all the time. Consume it all the time. I was thinking, you young folks, and I'm going to say younger than 50, okay? You don't know the struggle. You really don't know the struggle. I'm going to tell you what it was like. I tell you what, let me read this verse, and then I'll tell you what the struggle was like. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus answered, and this was His reply in a moment of temptation to the devil. He said, but He answered and said, it is written, and He's quoting the Old Testament, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, Jesus just got through saying, natural food's good, but it's not going to sustain you totally. You're going to have something else, and you're going to have to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Bible in basic English says this, bread is not man's only need, but every word which comes out of the mouth of God. The contemporary English version says this, no one can live only on food. People need every word that God has spoken. I remember way back when I first got into this some 40 years ago, and actually 42 years ago now. Back then, we didn't have the resources that are available now. Let me tell you what it was like. First of all, you had to listen to a cassette. You do know what cassettes are, right? Okay. They were these white things that had two little, you know, and so, and to adjust it, you had to get a pencil and turn it in there. You remember that? So some of you had your jams on your cassette so you could play it in the house and in your car. But when you wanted to order the Word, like teaching tapes from somebody, you had to sit down, fill out a paper order blank form, write a check or put some cash in there, put it in the mail. I'm not talking about email. I'm talking about regular, lit the envelope, put a stamp on it, mail. You had to wait a week or so for it to get there. You had to wait a couple of weeks while they processed it, and then it might take a couple of weeks for it to get back to you. So when you ordered a set of tapes, it might have two, four, six, whatever, It might take you as long as 6 to 8 weeks for you to get those tapes before you could start listening to them. And man, I remember I used to order, I'd order some tapes from Brother Copeland, and it was, I mean, it was all I could do. I'd check in the mail every day. Where are my tapes? Where are my tapes? Where are my tapes? Where are my tapes? And finally the tapes would come, and man, I'd wear those jokers out. I still have some of them. And I don't know why, because I don't have anything to play it on anymore, but... But now we don't have any excuse. Listen, you can go on these ministries' websites, and you a lot of stuff they have for free. And all you have to do is download it. Ain't no waiting in the mail, sending them your money, and even stuff that you buy, you can take out your check card. We didn't have check cards or debit cards. You might have an ATM card, but you ain't got no debit card with a Visa symbol on it so you could order stuff like that. No. Now you can go online, you can download stuff for free and have it instantaneously. And not only that, for people like me who are visual, I can download the video. Can you imagine what I would have done at 15 years old with a TV set in my pocket? Y'all don't know the struggle. When Brother Copeland, he had a 1 hour program on TV, and we were at church while that would come on. So what I would do is I had a little TV that had an earphone socket on it. I'd take that, I got me some wires, and I rigged me up a thing coming out of the earphone socket into my little cassette player. Some of y'all have one, and you plug it into the microphone thing, and I just hit record. I don't care if it was 30 minutes before the program came on, because I had to go. I mean, we were leaving, and my tail would get left if I, yeah, so I had to just start it, and so I let that joker run, because I knew it would stop when it was over, and so I had me a tape that I could listen to, excuse me for spitting on y'all, that I could listen to all week long. One message. And I thought it was the best thing since sliced bread. Here's my point. Today, we have no excuse not to feed on the Word of God every waking moment we choose to. You can have it playing while you're going to sleep. You can have it playing when you wake up. You can watch it anytime you want to. We have it good. So we ought to be feeding on it all the time. Here's the last thing. Number 5. Let me say this. John Osteen, Joel Osteen's dad. Sometime go on YouTube, and Pastor John's messages are out there. And great, great man of God. Gone home to be with the Lord, of course. But he said this: if you will put the Word in your heart when you don't need it, it will be there when you do need it. Somebody says, oh, I don't want to listen to that. Listen, it'll be there when you need it. I had something going on. Anybody ever woke up in the middle of the night just in a cold sweat and your mind's just going? I don't know. You know, I really wasn't worried about anything, but just, and it's like this fear just came on me. And there's some scriptures on our healing scriptures that I read every single day. I go over them and over them and over them and over them. And all of a sudden, while that was happening, up out of my spirit came this, Isaiah 41:17. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed, for I will be with you. I am your strength, your shield, and I will protect you. You know why that came up? Because it was in there. You got to put the Word in your heart when you don't need it, so it'll be there when you do. Here's number 5. Meditate on the Word. Now, I know we've talked about this before, but I want to emphasize this again. Meditate on the Word of God. What does that mean? It basic, simple, simple, simple means this. Think about the Word of God. Think about the Word of God. I'm going to tell you how to do that. Let me give you a scripture. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says this: this book of the law, or the Word, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Now, let me just tell you, why does God say don't let it come out of your mouth? Because a lot of times your brain listens to what's coming out of your mouth. You want to stop your mind from rambling? Start speaking something, because your mind will shut up to hear what your mouth is saying. He said, but meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, what's the next word? For then, now, I think I've looked that up in the Hebrew and the Greek. And you know what it means? Yuns. Y'all. Er one of us. It means you. All right? He said, when you do this, you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. You know the worst thing in life would be to find out that I was my own worst problem. What do I mean by that? Because a lot of the decisions that I make, things that I do, all that kind of stuff, are what causes a lot of stuff to happen in my life. How would you like to be in a position where, because of your time that you spend thinking about the Word of God, saying the Word of God, seeing the Word of God, you cause your own way to be prosperous and successful? Now, of course, it's with God's help. But I want you to see that God is saying, if you'll do these things, you'll get out of your own way and start allowing Him to work for you to make your way prosperous. Let me give you a couple of things. Meditation in the Word builds your faith capacity. When you think on the Word, and by the way, let me do this. Let me do a little word replacement. Instead of saying meditation, I'm going to say imagine, because that's what it means. Imagine. If you look it up in the Hebrew language, it means imagine. So imagine spending time imagining the Word builds your faith capacity. Spending time imagining the Word allows the Word to take root in your heart. Spending time imagining the Word is fixing your mind on Him and on His Word. Now, let me give you a promise that the Scripture tells you if you'll do that. Isaiah 26:3 says this, I, God, will keep in perfect peace those who trust in me and whose thoughts are fixed on me. See, a lot of times, you know why we don't have peace? Because we're not spending time imagining and thinking about the Lord and about His Word. All right, let me wrap this up. Let me give you some little steps to help you meditate in the Word of God. Imagine the Word of God. Here's the first one. Go to the Word that covers your situation. I don't think there's probably anybody in here in this room right now that does not have a need in their lives. Some form, some fashion. Even if your life is great, I'm sure you could think of a need that could make it better. And so what you have to do is you've got to go to the Word that talks about, that speaks to your situation. And the awesome thing about the Bible is that there is no human need that is not covered in the book. None. All of them are covered. Somebody said, well, how do I find the Scriptures? Okay, here's another thing where you don't know the struggle. Used to be you had to get a Strong's Concordance. I should have brought them. About this thick. A couple other books about this thick. Now you can just go to Brother Google and type in, I need Scriptures that talk about this. And it's amazing the amount of resources that are available. So even if you don't know where to begin, if you have access to a computer, you can find some Scriptures that talk about your situation. Go to the Word that covers your situation. Can I just say this to you? And I thought about this morning. When you, let's just use an example. If you need healing in your body, that's probably not the best time for you to spend time meditating on your prosperity scriptures. Okay, use some common sense. All right, find the Scriptures that cover your situation. Here's the second thing. Apply the Word to the situation. What does that mean? That means take what God says and apply it to that need, to that situation. Apply it to that. Don't separate it. Don't say, well, you know, that's awesome that the Bible says that, but that really doesn't pertain to me. Yes, it does. It pertains to you. Apply it to that situation. Here's the third thing. Place yourself in agreement with the Word. Place yourself in agreement with the Word. As I alluded to earlier, you know, and you've heard the saying and seen the bumper stickers, if the Word says it, I believe it, and finish it with me, and that, okay? Put yourself in agreement with the Word. If I see it in the Bible, I'm going to agree with it. Don't ever let yourself be at odds with the Word where you're going contrary to what the Word says. Be in agreement. Here's the last thing. Imagine the desired result instead of the dreaded outcome. Imagine the desired result. If the Bible says that, but my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, imagine the desired result of your need being met versus the dreaded outcome of your life getting turned upside down because of lack and insufficiency. Imagine, think about it. That's why God gave us that wonderful tool called imagination. You know, Disney's capitalized on that. You know, they're people, they're creative people. You know what they're called? Imagineers. They have whole teams, thousands upon thousands of people, that's all they do. They sit around and they dream and they imagine stuff that they can create. And yet here we as Christians, we step back and we go, wow, sure wish I could do that. And then we got people down all over the world, in Florida, California, and all over, making billions doing it every day, when God's people are saying, yeah, I just don't know if God would do that for me. No, you need to go back to that verse that we read at the very beginning. Think big. Dream big. Now, here's the last thing I want to say to you, and then we'll go home or to lunch or whichever will apply. The word that you meditate on will become the reality that you desire. The Word of God that you spend time imagining. And listen, you don't have to have 500 verses. Get you one or two and just spend time imagining yourself experiencing that. When the Scripture says in the book of Proverbs that wealth and riches shall be in the house of the person who lays hold of wisdom. Somebody say, it sounds like you're all about money. No, I'm not all about money. I'm all about having money so that the gospel can be funded. But what's wrong with imagining my life being better? God wants your life to be better. Somebody said, well, I'm not sure about that. Well, just think, use your noggin for just a second. All the people in the Gospels, read all four of the Gospels sometime. All the people that came to Jesus who were sick, lame, some of them dead, demon-possessed, whatever. There's not one person that came to Jesus, and listen, their motivation for coming to Jesus was so their life could be better. There's not one person that Jesus said, no, I'm not going to do that today because I don't want your life to be better. I don't want your life to improve at all. Matter of fact, I think it'd be best if you just stay in that condition about another year or two. Because after all, I'm trying to teach you something, and you're hard-headed and you ain't got it yet, so you're just going to have to hold on. There is not one time that happened. But every time somebody came to Jesus and they took the limits off of what they would believe Him to do, He met the need and He changed their life for the better. And that's what God wants to do. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the Word that we've heard today. Lord, I thank You for Your goodness, Your faithfulness in our lives, and for Your mercy and Your grace. I thank You for the truths that we've heard today, Father. And Lord, I thank You that it's fallen on good ground, the people of Spring Hill Church. And Father, I thank You that I have the wonderful privilege of pastoring a group of people who have uncommon faith. And that together, Father, we're going to believe You to do above and beyond what we could imagine or hope or dream in our lives, Father. And Lord, I just believe that you are willing and able and desiring to accomplish those things in our lives. Father, not for our own consumption, but so that we can be in a position to meet the needs of other people, to be a blessing in this world, Father, to see people's lives changed. And Father, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for stirring in their hearts like you have stirred in mine. And Father, I just believe you to cause us to begin to enlarge, to think bigger, to expand, to see areas and ways that we can experience the increase that you're wanting to bring into our lives. And Father, I thank you for it in the precious name of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask a couple of quick questions before we leave today. I never like to dismiss a service without giving someone an opportunity to be born again, to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't take it for granted that I know what everybody's spiritual situation is. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, paid the price for all of us, and so that we all can experience new life. So I want to give that invitation to you today and make that opportunity available. If you don't know where your relationship with Jesus stands, if you've never received Him as your Lord and Savior and been born again, it's really very simple. It's not about becoming a part of Spring Hill Church, joining our church. It's not, as the old folks used to say, about finding religion. It's about simply you opening your heart to a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If you're here today, and maybe you've done that at some point in your life, and you've given your heart to Jesus, but through maybe your own mistakes, shortcomings, sin, failures, maybe distractions, your heart has grown cold towards the things of God, I want you to know this: God's not mad at you, and He wants you to come back home. All you have to do is turn your heart towards Him. And I know what the devil's going to try and lie to you and tell you, well, you can do that next week. Or you can do it when you get yourself together. When you got your act together, you can come to Jesus. No, we come to Jesus exactly as we are, with all of our issues, all of our hang-ups, all of our baggage. And the Scripture says that today is the day of salvation. I can't think of a better way for you to begin your year than on January the 6th, 2019, to make a decision to commit your life to Jesus Christ. I want the privilege of praying with you. If you need to make that decision today, if you need to open your heart to receive Christ for the first time, or you need to recommit your life to the Lord, I'd love to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out, make you come down to the front. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, I need you to take a simple step of faith and just raise your hand. And by doing that, you're saying, Pastor, pray for me. Pray with me. I want to give my heart to Christ, or I need to recommit my life to the Lord. If that's you, just put your hand up quickly and we'll pray. Father, in Jesus' name, you see the hands that have gone up. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in each of our lives. Church, if you believe in what we're doing right now in this moment, will you please pray this prayer with me? Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I believe you died for me. I believe you shed your blood on the cross to pay my price. And I believe you were raised from the dead. And I make you my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Give me a brand new start. I commit my life to you. I place it in your hands. Do with it what you desire. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, God bless you. We're so proud of you. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, let's just take a moment. Let's just thank God. Come on, lift it up. Father, thank you for the people that gave their hearts, that recommitted their lives to you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.